Hello, this is Reverend Judith Laxer, and today's service is entitled The Flowering.
You stand there. I never did that. I never did that before. All right, so here we are a few weeks before Beltane. Late spring on the brink of summer, a soggy late spring to be sure, but late spring just the same, and the year is off and running. You know, it's an interesting thing to ponder how we can feel both like it took forever to get past the vernal equinox to longer days and the greening of the earth and time in the garden, and also that it was just yesterday we were in that spiral dance at Yule. It's mid-April already, for God's sakes. Where did those 4 months go? Now, we can speculate on all the reasons why time seems to be flying from, you know, well, we're all getting older, to all the technological advances that were supposed to save us time, actually creating more for us to do in a shorter period of time. You know, and I've talked about this before, the phenomenon of doing things more slowly to actually have more time. We are accustomed in our culture to thinking that speeding up is going to save us time, but the opposite is true. When we slow things down, we have more time. It's as simple as that. It's not always easy, but it is really just that simple. It's exactly how we created our sacred space here. You know, we breathe deeply and slowly. We take a moment, we call ourselves home to ourselves, we step out of the busy world by slowing down. This is the wisdom of Earth time, which progresses in season and is cyclical, and each progression has its own signature. It doesn't rush or try to multitask in order to save time. Nature's clock, which is not digital or 4G, moves at her own pace, Earth time. We don't plant a seed in April and harvest the next day, or even the next week. You know, radishes might be the fastest to grow, and even they take about a moon to come to fruition. And during that time, the moon will wax and wane, and night will follow day, which follows night, and dawn will bring up the sun, and twilight will bid him goodbye. Nature doesn't try to bid goodnight to the sun at noon. She doesn't expect dawn at midnight. She keeps her own pace in the cosmos, and we would do well to take a page from her book, so to speak, to try to establish a reasonable pace, and then try to keep to it. Life will continue as it does. We can slow it down by going more slowly, by breathing more deeply. Speaking more slowly. Am I frustrating you? Well, like, blah, 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 you know, we're so used to frustrating. Life is going to roll along regardless of how we live it. Why not live it at a more reasonable pace? Why not enjoy the moments along the way like nature does? Thank you.
sings her song, waiting on the rest of us to whistle along. A deer on the highway, still as a stone, waiting on the world to finally slow down. A bird in the meadow sings her song, waiting on the rest of us to whistle along. Ain't it funny how we whistle along?
Cold and soggy Northwest, we find ourselves out of doors more often and for longer periods of time at this time of year. And with all its potential and visible growth, it is a joy to behold. The energy is one of upliftment, right, due to longer days and the life force evident in the realm of the plants. So just for fun, I looked up the word plant, which is defined thus. Any of various photosynthetic multicellular organisms of the kingdom Plantae, P-L-A-N-T-A-E, characteristically producing embryos, containing chloroplasts, having cellulose cell walls, and lacking the power of locomotion. I thought that was interesting, that last bit. Lacking the power of locomotion, what hubris. Only someone who possesses the power of locomotion would look at something that doesn't and consider it lacking. I mean, I doubt a humble plant, even if it could, would write about humans lacking the power of rootedness. It's all perspective. So I want to talk with you today about the plant realm on both a practical and also on a spiritual level. And by that, I mean an energetic one. It's always interesting to talk about energetic realms because, of course, they're not tangible. So they are difficult to quantify and to empirically prove to, for all intents and purposes, point to, you know, there, there. You know, energy everywhere. So on a practical level, it might seem remedial to point out the important and all-pervasive role that plants play in our lives, from the food on our plates, to the clothes on our backs, to the furniture in our homes, to their homes ourselves, themselves, along with being home to all the other animals who locomote on this magnificent planet. Plants provide for us, they heal us, they shade us, they intoxicate us, they delight us, they protect us. And if we pay close attention, if we watch with our wise eyes, which say see more than just dense reality, they enlighten us. On a spiritual level, in their still, quiet, witnessing presence, they show us the way, the cyclical way of life here on planet Earth, knowing when to grow and thrive, flower and fruit, and when to drop and stop and offer and release. They demonstrate for us that we return after we die, that we are intricately connected to all life, and our demise feeds the life of whatever comes next. That goodbye is hello, and hello is goodbye. And throughout it all, we're dancing with nature. We may rejoice in one part of the cycle more than another, but the cycle itself is wholeness. And as earth lovers and those who understand that the earth is a sentient being, we embrace the goddess when we honor that wholeness. Wherever I am, wherever I go, wherever they appear, I am one who remains almost ridiculously aware of the green and growing things. Some might call it an obsession. I prefer to think of it as one of my most cherished spiritual practices. And it's particularly exciting in the spring, of course, as everything comes alive, from that first early crocus in February to the blooming cherry trees in March to now when the flowers are everywhere. The forsythia, the japonica, the camellia, the rhododendron, the magnolia, the bluebells, the anemone, the daffodils, and the tulips. Tulips are up there as one of my top 25 favorite flowers. Last autumn, during the big clean-up and put-away, I emptied some old flower pots whose soil was spent and replanted the bulbs that were in there in the earth, and of course, like the squirrel, I didn't remember where I planted them. So it's been a lovely surprise to see them popping up here and there. Three larger tulips emerged in the rose bed, and I kept close watch over them as they grew taller and bigger and sturdier, and soon the green heads turned pink, and then finally, after a few weeks, they burst open in all their turban-like splendor. They are gorgeous. I just had to bring them inside so I could enjoy them with more constancy. I put them in a spring green glass vase on the windowsill, the kitchen windowsill, just above the sink, so I could enjoy them while doing some more mundane tasks like washing the dishes. And in the warmth of the indoors, they began to open. And the vibrant pink on the outside just about pales in comparison to the intensified color on the inside of the petal. The top edge of the petal darkens as your eyes slide down toward the center to a color that resembles a flamingo, and then a salmon, and then a neon hot sunset orange, just before a thin, bright yellow that outlines the jet black center, underscoring purple black stamens that wave at you from the gold. Oh. The largest bloom opened toward me, and I put my face in it, both to gaze at its beauty and inhale its fragrance, that fresh fragrance that can only mean the season of spring. The blossom was so big, it felt like I was putting my head in a cereal bowl. It was like... Everything about me changed in this moment. I was transported from the ills and cares of the world, the pressure of the ticking clock, and the worries of my overactive mind, and taken to a place of blissfulness and peace and love. For that moment, everything was perfect. I was perfect, the world was perfect. I was happy in a tranquil way, serenely hopeful, and amazingly generous of heart. You could have asked me for anything in that moment, the answer would have been yes. I fell in love with a tulip, and she loved me back, giving me her all in our meeting. And I hope by inhaling her essence into my own, by praising her charms, by admiring the softness of her petals, I fulfilled her purpose here. You know, I strive to be in a reciprocal relationship with the earth and all of her varied manifestations. I do this by cultivating a garden, by following nature in my spiritual practice, and sometimes I do it merely by sniffing a flower. Flowers are special. They just are. They're always appropriate. No one ever says, damn, I wish you didn't bring me these. They're present at every special occasion, every rite of passage. Everyone likes them. They represent love, forgiveness, send-off, congratulations. They uplift, console, delight, adorn, create ambiance. They smell good and they bring beauty. I like beauty. Everything about nature is miraculous, often pleasing to the eye and marvelous for the soul, but there's something special about flowers, and they're at the forefront of our consciousness in the season of spring. When we look with our wise eyes, we can see the subtle energy of the plant kingdom. The shift in my consciousness elicited by the flower is a spiritual energetic. The flower changed me, like magic, if only for a moment, but still. It's moments that make up our lives, right? What if more of those moments were just as transformative? What if we had more of those moments that helped us drop the worries and cares and reach that state of blissful peace in our generous hearts? Can it be as simple as keeping flowers around? Yeah, I think it can. But only if we notice and engage with them, if we tune into the energy they emit by their beautiful presence, if we remain mindful of their attendance instead of just barely perceiving them in the backdrop of our more important locomoting lives. What if we began to view everyone as a flower? Groups of people as a bouquet. Some would be beautiful but thorny. Some fragrant. Some showy, some delicate, some hardy. If we thought of everyone as a flower, how differently would we treat them? We'd be aware that no matter how vibrantly colored, they're fragile, and we'd take care. We'd acknowledge them, we'd appreciate them more, we'd find the beauty in each one. We'd be less apt to mindlessly trample all over them. If we were just that mindful of one another, there'd be peace on earth. We must remain mindful. Now I know our minds are already pretty full, already, you know? But when we take a good look at what's occupying our minds, I bet we'd find many thoughts we'd rather toss right out of that domain. I bet we'd find many thoughts we'd rather have in there, and the beauty of the flora might be just one of them. Besides, flowers are easy to notice because they're colorful and most of them are fragrant. They have their wiles. Mm-hmm. Flowers are the higher vibration of the plant, but the truth is, all plants have this subtle energy going, whether they flower or not. At a fundamental level, it is the presence of another living being whose vibration contributes to the energetic field in which we exist. For example, both my kitties are gone now, and I still miss them terribly. But when I come home, and no sweet furry thing comes to greet me at the door, there is still something else that has been vitally alive in the space while I was gone. The plants. They might not purr, or snuggle with me on the sofa, or try to sit on the keyboard when I'm typing in that adorable way. But then I'm not cleaning the plant's litter box either. What the plants do is keep the air clean and fresh in my home. They contribute to the green sense of aliveness even in the depth of winter. And they raise the vibration on an energetic level, which is a subtle energy, but no less real or important. Don't confuse subtlety with weakness. Subtle energy is quite strong. It just doesn't speak very loudly. Plants show us how powerful subtle energy is, but only if we tune into it. Tuning into the energy of the quiet, still, yet potent presence of plant life will help us recover the beauty of subtlety in our lives. We are a culture of blatancy. Everything is over the top, loud, and in your face. Tuning into this potent presence will remind us of our silent allies everywhere present. It will engage us in advocacy of them, so we return that allied favor, part of the reciprocity so necessary for living well on Mother Earth. Right? Right. All right, so let's take a moment now. Close your eyes and go within. Breathe nice and deeply. Reconnect with your grounding cord from the beginning of the service. If you came in late, go ahead and ground yourself to the earth first. And then bring your attention, as we often do, to your third eye in the center of your forehead. Imagine it like an actual eye, like your other two. Then go ahead and open it up and look out through it into your imagination and find yourself walking in a beautiful garden in full flower on a warm, sunny day. It's late spring and there are flowers everywhere. But you know, this is a special, different, magical kind of garden because all kinds of flowers grow here, not just spring flowers. There are already lilies and sunflower and roses and poppies and even tropical flowers like birds of paradise and orchids and aloe. Every kind of flower that grows on Mother Earth is here, and each one is in full bloom. Every color of the rainbow, every shape and size. Over there is a carpet of tulips. Over there, a lily of the valley with their tiny, sweet, bell-like flowers. Here's a group of tall hollyhocks, and there's a lilac tree bursting with purple sweetness. Take a moment now, walk around this garden. Notice everything you see, including the butterflies that look almost like flowers that fly. And as you walk, notice the sounds. The distant airplane, perhaps your feet as they touch the earth, the bird song, the breeze through the trees. Notice the scent of the air, clean, fresh, floral, of course. Notice the warmth of the sun on your skin and the blue sky, maybe a few puffy white clouds, but just a few. And then return your attention to the flowers growing in the magical garden. And now really tune in. Imagine that there is a switch inside your soul. Reach in and flip it to the on position. And immediately, your senses heighten and sharpen, and you become aware not only of the beauty of the flowers, but the life force emitting from them. You can actually see it with your eyes, the aura around each flower. Some are large and bright, some are small and tight, but all of them sort of pulsing as if it were the heartbeat of each blossom. And now your heart comes in sync with the pulse of life in this garden. It feels like everything that is not of this beautiful place just drops away. And stay with the rhythm of this pulse for a minute more as you keep walking. As you walk, what you surely know now is between the worlds. And now you realize that one of these flowers, one of the many blooming here, it's calling you. It's as if it had an actual voice which speaks to your soul. You can't hear it with your ears, but you can hear it with your soul. And turn toward the floral voice your soul hears, and notice the one bloom whose aura has expanded so far beyond the edges of its petals, it looks as though it reaches the edges of the whole garden itself. The aura is transparent, so you can see through it, and at its center is the one flower calling you. Go to it. And regard this flower, not only with your eyes, but with your heart and your soul and your consciousness and your spirit. And have a seat here somehow so that the blossom and your face are level and you can gaze right into one another's eyes. You're aware that you are sitting within the span of this gorgeous flower's aura, and you can feel as your aura expands as well. And in the space where both auras meet, halfway in between you and the flower, is exactly where the bloom can communicate with you, exactly where you can receive that communication. And communicate it will, because it has a few messages for you. That's why it called you. The first message is a clear sign of what is flowering in you at this time. What's flowering in you? A skill, an emotion, an awareness, an idea, a plan, could be anything. In the next moment of silence, open to receive the message. Now, it might come in the form of an image, a thought. You may hear words directing you. Could be a feeling, an intuition. Trust what comes to you. Trust what arrives in your consciousness as the message from this special flower to you about what is flowering within you in this season arrives. Tune into that now. Breathe deeply. The next message flower wants to relay is what to do to cultivate and support this flowering. So once again, tune into where your auras meet and receive the course of action this flower wants to recommend. And finally, the flower has one other piece of information for you. And until you receive it, you don't know what it'll be. It's just something the flower wants you to know. So once more, tune into the space where your auras meet and receive. Thank the flower now. In your heart and soul and mind, say thank you. Notice now that beside you is a full watering can, and as a gesture of gratitude, give this magnificent creature a drink. And as the water soaks into the earth at the bottom of the flower, she bows her head in your direction. Bow back. And let the image fade now and come back to our temple space. Deep breath. Little journey there. In nature's perfect wisdom, there's a reason flowers are so prolific right now, because the earth is in her fertile phase. Now is the time of nature's conception, and this is where flowers come into play, of course. Many flowers are just ornamental, like the tulip. They'll not fruit into anything edible. They are for our enjoyment and pleasure. But what would a tomato plant be, no matter how big and leafy, if it didn't flower? Or the pea and bean mines? It's those pretty, fragrant, colorful, sexy blossoms that ensure the fertility of the earth. And the fertility of the earth is crucial for our survival, as we know. The next Sabbat on the wheel of the year is Beltane, the cross-quarter fire festival holy day when we celebrate the earth's fertility and our own, which might be our actual fertility as in conceiving and bearing children, but fertility might also be experienced as the condition in which we conceive and bear our careers, our art, our purpose in this life. At Beltane, we celebrate and utilize the energy of the union of the goddess and god in our magic making. This is just one of the many reasons why I love paganism. I mean, what other house of worship are you taught to utilize lovemaking in your magic? Part of the Beltane celebration includes wearing crowns made out of flowers and weaving ribbons around the maypole, the symbol of this union. We set an intention for the growing season and weave our magic in the dance. We become nature spirits connected to the earth, the air, the water, and the fire. And we are beautiful, adorned in flowers. Maybe this year at Beltane and in your Beltane revelry, you will set intention based on the information you just received and allow what is flowering in you to grow to fruition. There's an old magical piece of lore that tells us to never take more than a third of what is growing when we reap. If there are a dozen tulips, don't take more than four. If there are three branches of rosemary, only take one. If there are 20 lilies, take only six. There is a wisdom in this, especially when it comes to the beautiful things like flowers, because we seemingly just can't get enough. So it's like more, 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 cut, 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 take, take, take. But we must remember that the seed within the flower is the future.
Easily through fear. all the flowers, you'd better leave some. Cause tomorrow may bring a day that we all need some. Rooted deep in the ground, the earthworm without a sound will thank you. Yeah, they will thank you. Don't pick all the flowers, you'd better leave some. Cause tomorrow may bring a day that we all need some. Rooted deep in the ground, the earthworm without a sound will thank you for the thought. Yeah, we will all surely thank you for the thought.
So, my friends, as the days lengthen and lengthen still, may you remember to slow your pace. May what is flowering in you flower magnificently and be the reason you find great joy and gladness in your heart. May that flowering be stewarded wisely and contribute to the highest good of all. And may the season of spring turn beautifully into your summer. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
All right, so this is where we open up the floor for our community prayers. If you have a prayer that you'd like to speak, feel free to speak it out loud and clear. When you're finished, say, blessed be, so we know you're finished, and we'll go on to the next person. Blessed be. It's called My Spirit Guide is a Dandelion. The neighbors are relieved that I finally weeded the front drive. I had not the heart to do it before. Sent out to scout rogue milkweed, crabgrass, fescue, lodged in the tiniest of sidewalk cracks. Sometimes the root is only a hair, sometimes straight into concrete. They are the mail cutters breaking up the ice so that the rest of the natural world may follow. We have poured out glaciers of concrete. We are trapped, frozen within, but there will come dandelions in every small crack. We have poured out black asphalt lava. We are trapped, ashen within, but there will come crabgrass in every minute pore. And then arrives the pill bug, the ant colony, the spider, the new bits of earth, soon a tree sprouting, the widening of the crack, and the loosening of our bonds. Yet how we resist being saved when we count our folly, this pavement, as our only foundation, discounting the entire planet it rests upon. The neighbors are relieved that I finally weeded the front drive. I'm relieved that I'll have to keep doing it again and again. Blessed be.
Mother, for the earth that is your body.